Good to be here this evening. Good testimony. You can be turning in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to finish up the chapter this evening. Paul began the chapter, Philippians chapter number 3, and he was warning them against false teachers preaching false doctrine, leading his converts away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and adding something to that gospel. They were called the concision, but he also called them in other places the circumcision. And Paul knew about these teachers all too well because he used to be one of them. He used to be a Pharisee. And so he was warning against adding something to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's going to end up this chapter in the same way. He's going to warn you again, you and I, and Philippian believers there again, about false doctrine, false teachers, who you should follow and who you shouldn't follow. And the title of the message this evening is The Path Less Traveled. The Path Less Traveled. We're going to read verses 17 to 21. He says, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from which we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Last week we looked at Paul's estimation of the Christian life, and he compared that to a foot race, or a race in general. And he said, "I'm forgetting about all those things that are behind, and I'm going to reach forth unto those things which are before. I want the prize. I want to win the race." That's what he was talking about. Then he transitions this week into who that you should be following. Who that you should be following. That's my question this evening, is who are you following as a Christian? Who you follow depends in large part on the path that you're on. All of us are on a path of some kind, and there's going to be an end to that path one of these days. And it matters who that you follow, who your influences are, all of those different things. And Paul, I believe, is admonishing us to take the path that is less traveled. For he says in verse number 18, "For many walk." There's a lot of people on this road right here. We're going to take the path that is less traveled. And that's going to be the path for the Christian. It's not going to be the wide path. It's not going to be the path that everybody's on. It's going to be the path that is less traveled. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you, Father, for guiding us and leading us and watching over us for another week. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's there to teach us and lead us in the way that we ought to go. Thank you for your word that we can read and look at and study and receive instruction from it as well. Father, we are not worthy of your grace and we are not worthy of your mercy, but we're thankful that you're there for us. Thank you for bringing us to this place. I pray that you'd help us to learn something from your word and stay on the right path this evening. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Several of you young people probably wouldn't know about this game, or maybe you might know about this game, but you probably played it maybe as you were a child or in your childhood. The game was Follow the Leader. You had a line of kids there. They all got into a line, and you had a boy or a girl in the front, and they were the leader. And they would make all these different shapes with their body. They'd put their hand on their head. They'd put their foot up. They'd put one foot up. They'd cross their legs, whatever. And everybody in the back would have to follow the leader, and they'd have to mimic every move that the leader made. And if you didn't mimic that move, well, then you were out of the game. You had to go back and watch everybody else play the game. So you had to follow the leader. You had to do what the leader did, exactly the way he did it, or you were out of the game. Well, I think Paul is kind of painting the same picture here for us. He says, I'm the leader here. I'm an example for you. He uses the word ensample there in verse number 17. You have us for an ensample. That's like a sample of what you ought to be doing. You ever go to the grocery store and they're giving out samples, something that you can taste test, and then you want to get the whole thing. Well, Paul was an example to the believers there, and he said, you need to follow me in your manner of life, in the Christian life, the doctrines that I am teaching, the way that I am living, the way that I live this Christian life. You have me for an example. And if you follow the way that I'm living and the things that I'm teaching and the things that I'm doing, you'll be safe. There's not going to be any problem if you follow me. But he said, there's some people that you shouldn't follow. And they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He said that their God is not Jesus Christ, but it is actually their own belly. It's the things that they want to do. It's their appetites. It's their desires. It's everything that their heart wants to do. That's actually what is guiding their life, what is leading their life. And that's the principles that they go by. It's not by Jesus Christ. It's not by God. It's not by the Bible. It's their own belly.
Amen. Come on.
And what they do is they brag about shameful things. They glory in their shame. Well, you can look around the United States and all over the world today, and that's what a lot of people are doing today. They are bragging about shameful things. I don't remember who said it in the Bible, but I believe that it was Paul. He said that we should not even speak about some things that people are doing out in this world, but yet in our society today, I don't see a whole lot of shame. You can see a lot of sinful things going on right in front of your face on the billboards, on television, at the grocery store checkout line. They're not ashamed of those things. They're ready to flaunt it, and they're bragging about it and all these different things. And so Paul said, don't follow those kind of folks.
Amen.
Because they're only minding earthly things. They only care about things that are here upon this earth. They don't care about heavenly things. They don't care about Jesus Christ. They don't care about the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment or any of those things. Their reward is down here on this earth. And that's the path that they're going down. That's the path that they're leading others down. They mind earthly things. That's what they think about all the time. They don't think about God, and God is not in any of their thoughts. And so he said, instead of following those folks, those false teachers that are going to lead you astray, follow me. And then he said, we have other people around me that are following me as well, and you can use them as well for an example. And Paul himself said, I'm following Jesus Christ, so therefore you can follow me. What path are you on this evening? Who are you following? All paths do not lead to God. Even though you might hear that on television or the talk shows and all of those different things, all paths do not lead to God. All religions are not equal.
Amen.
If all paths lead to God and all religions are equal, then we might as well go home, because you have no authority higher than your own opinion. You are your own God. If all paths lead to God and all religions are equal, then there is no supreme truth. Morals do not matter. Everything is only preference and relative, and nothing has true meaning or value. Nothing matters if there is no God, if there is no truth. Adolf Hitler was right in what he did by killing 6 million Jews, because it was his preference. It was his opinion, and that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he did. So I believe that there is a supreme truth. What's true and good for you might not be true or good for someone else. But all truth is not relative. And there is supreme truth. And the path that you lead and the path that you go on matters a great deal. Whoever you follow determines the path that you take, and the path that you take determines your destination. Jesus Christ tells us to take the road that is less traveled. He tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." That's the tight gate. That's the narrow way. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room right there. You can't go all over the road on a narrow path, can you? You have to stay right there on the narrow path. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction." Amen. Hey, everybody's going that way. Yeah. Everybody's going to destruction. It's the broad way. You can do whatever you want to. There's a lot of freedom and a lot of liberty. Hey, you can wander all over the place. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You can do whatever you want to do. But at the end, it's destruction. It's destruction. Now, you might deceive yourself into thinking that it's going to be a happy ending, but it's not. It's not. I guarantee you. "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Not going to be very many people that believe on Jesus Christ. They're going to laugh about it. They're going to mock Him. Oh, you believe that Jesus is the only way. It matters. There's three aspects that Paul gives us here about the road that is less traveled. It matters who you follow, Paul is saying here. Watch out who you emulate. You can't just follow anybody. You can't just follow any teaching and believe that you'll end up in the same place. There's no way. Well, I remember watching Oprah Winfrey one time on her talk show. I think it was a video clip. She said, "Oh, Jesus can't be the only way. There's many paths to God. Everyone's going to make it." Now, the Buddhist and the Hindu, everybody, they're going to make it. What about Jesus Christ? What about what He said? As Mrs. Yee just told us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." Three aspects to the road that is less traveled. Number one is a path of willingness. You must be willing to go down this path. Number two, it's a path of weeping. And number three, it is a path of watching. Paul says in verse number 17, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me." He said, "Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, you who I have led to the Lord, you who have professed faith in Jesus Christ, be ye followers together of me." He said, "I hope that you do. Would you please? Would you follow me? Would you follow Jesus Christ? Would you do that?" No. He gave a commandment. He said, "Follow me." He didn't ask. Do you know that's the way God is? God's not a beggar. He's not begging you. Amen. He's not begging you. He's not begging you to get saved. "Oh, would you please? I hope that you do. Would you please?" Do you know who God is? God is not an elected official. God is not the president. He's the king. Amen. And the Bible says, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Amen. That's what He says. He's not begging you. Yeah. Either you can do it or you can't do it. One or the other. Amen. Just like Joshua said in Joshua 24, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, one or the other." There's no options. That's not an alternative. You don't have another alternative. Yeah. That's it. Amen. You got to be willing to follow me. And that's exactly what Paul said. Be ye followers together of me. You have to follow me. You got to follow Jesus Christ. There is no alternative. God does not beg men to repent and follow Him. He commands it. Amen. He has all authority. And who are we to say, "Hey man, who do you think you are?" He is the potter and we are the clay. Jesus Christ did not beg His disciples to follow Him. He went up to Matthew and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway Matthew forsook his nets and followed Him. Or not Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. He left his job and followed Jesus Christ. Same way with Peter and John. Followed him. It's a path of willingness. Rebels have no place in the kingdom of God. There is no place for rebellion. We must be willing, number one, to be a friend of the cross, because there were some around the Philippian believers who were not a friend of the cross. They didn't care about the cross. They cared about themselves. Are you a friend of the cross this evening? You know what that means? That means doing some things that you don't want to do. Hey, bearing a cross is no fun. Putting to death your flesh is no fun. Doing some things that you don't want to do is no fun, but that's what bearing a cross is. They are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, the Bible says. And they glory in their shame. They had replaced the cross with selfish ambitions and their own fleshly lust. And that's what dictated their life. What dictates your life this evening? Is it yourself or is it God? Is it Jesus Christ? Are you following Jesus Christ this evening? Their God was their self-righteousness. They said, hey man, we can work our way to heaven if we want to. We're good enough. We can follow the law of Moses perfectly. That's what Paul thought. Man, he thought, man, I'm good enough. I can make it to heaven. Man, I got all the right clothes, man. I do all the right works. I do everything. That's what he thought. He was his own God. Are you your own God this evening? That's what they had done. They had replaced the cross of Christ with self-righteousness and pride. And when everyone stands before God and they have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know what they're going to do? They're going to be standing on their own self-righteousness and their own pride, and they're going to fall. Destruction is at the end of that thing. Destruction. Their God was their self-righteousness, and their God was their appetite. Whatever they wanted to do, their hearts desired it. They were their own God. And that describes probably, I don't know how much of Christianity today. They're their own God. They don't care what the Bible says, and they don't know what the Bible says. The Christian life is about submitting to things that we do not feel like doing. One day a boy on a farm was working for his daddy, and his daddy was fixing to go to town. He told his boy to do something he didn't want to do. Man, his boy thought about it, looked out at that barn door, and he said, that barn door kind of looks like it needs painting. I know where a brush and a can of red paint is. Now, his dad didn't tell him to paint the barn door, but he said, I'm going to go ahead and do that anyway. And he went out and he got that can of paint and that paintbrush and painted that door. Man, did a good job, looked great. His dad came back a few hours later and saw that his boy had not obeyed him and done what he told him to do, but he had done something else. It didn't turn out too good for that boy. Well, he got a whipping from his dad because he did something he wanted to do instead of what his dad told him to do. Did you know what? As Christians here today, God has given us a commission on how to live and what to do. And we can't go around doing whatever we want to do and expect God to be pleased with it one of these days, even though it might be noble or good. One of these days we're going to be judged for what God told us to do, not what we wanted to do. That's the cross-bearing life. We must be a friend of the cross here this evening. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Did you catch those words? If any man will come after me, you have to be willing to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't paint a pretty picture of following him. He said, you're not going to have a place to sleep. People are not going to like you. The world's going to hate you. You're not going to have a place to live. But you can follow me if you want to. You know what's going to be at the end of that road of following Jesus Christ? Eternity with him. That's where it's going to be. Not destruction, but glory. Glory one of these days. Not shame. And you won't be ashamed of following Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll be happy that you followed him. The second aspect of the path less traveled is the path of weeping. Paul says in verse number 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you, and now tell you even weeping. Man, he was sad. He had a heavy heart for those who were not saved. He lived his whole life with a heavy heart for those who are going to hell. He said, man, if it was me, man, I would go to hell just to see my kinsmen according to the flesh get saved. I'd be a curse from Christ if I could do it, because I tell you this with a heavy heart, with weeping, that I wish they'd be saved. Man, his path was a path of weeping. The Lord's path brings weeping over the plight of others. We see other people reject Jesus Christ and reject righteousness and reject holiness, and it brings weeping to us. It should. Jesus Christ himself was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Man, he didn't have a happy life. He wasn't a happy-go-lucky kind of character. Well, there's nothing wrong with being happy. I'm not saying we can't be happy, but Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He looked out over Jerusalem at one point, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not." You're going to be destroyed. You're going to hell. He had a heavy heart for people. He looked out upon the masses of the people out there, and he looked on them with compassion. He had a soft heart for the lost folks out there. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and he wept over the spiritual state of Israel. He said in Jeremiah 9:1, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain and daughter of my people." Man, he wept over them. Do you weep over people sometimes? Have a heavy heart for those who are not saved, not going to go to heaven? The psalmist said in Psalm 126:6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him," weeping over others that need Jesus Christ. That's not the only thing. We should be sad and we should be sorrowful over our sin, because it breaks God's heart and it ruins lives and it tears people apart, weeping over sin. Brokenness over sin. You know that it grieves the Lord. You know that the effects that it has upon people. Man, it ought to make us sorrowful to see sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. You find out in the Old Testament. What about David and Bathsheba? Man, David let his own lust take over his life. What did he do? Took another man's wife, killed the husband, and find himself in a mess because of something he did. Let his whole flesh take over him. You know what that drove him to do? That drove him to repentance, and it drove him to weeping over his sin. You've got to have a brokenness over sin. It'll tear you apart. It'll take you apart. It's like a wild beast that tears you apart. He said in Psalm 51:17, as he was repenting over his sin, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." How about old Paul? Man, he was torn up inside over his sin as well. You see him in Romans chapter number 7. He says, "Man, sometimes I do some things that I don't want to do, but the things that I want to do, I don't do them." Man, he says, at the end of that, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who's gonna get me out of this thing? Because I'm just torn up inside. I want to do right, and I can't do right sometimes, and vice versa." And he's just fighting together with his flesh. He doesn't know what to do. You ever get to that state sometimes, fighting with yourself? I want to do right, but man, I got this sin inside of me that's pulling against me. And he said, "I know who's going to get me out. It's going to be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, my Lord, is going to get me out of those things." And that's true for a Christian, because weeping doesn't last for a lifetime. It only lasts for a while, because joy comes in the morning, the Bible says. Hey, a better day is coming for a Christian. A more joyful day is coming for a Christian, because we're going to get out of this flesh one of these days. Aren't you glad you're going to get to shed this old tabernacle of sin and go to be with your Lord? You get rid of all the weeping and crying and sin and sorrow and all of those different things. Isn't that a joyful fact to consider? Paul talked about it in the verses right there. He says, our conversation is in heaven, from which we look for a Savior. Is your conversation filled with Jesus Christ? Is your life filled with Jesus Christ? Because that's what Paul said. He says, our conversation, our manner of living, our heart, our life is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ up there in heaven. He says, our conversation is in heaven, from which we look for the Savior. That's what the Christian life will be about. It's about looking for Jesus Christ. I'm not looking to the White House.
Amen.
They're just going to mess things up like they always have. I don't care if he's a Republican, Democrat, or independent. So what? I'm not looking over there to any other country. I'm not looking to any other politician. We have 10,000 years of human history to examine and see how they make a mess of things. Amen? We need the ultimate king. We need God himself to come down here and fix humanity. I don't care how long that people supposedly evolve and how much technology and how much information you get out there. I don't care. We're still going to make a mess of things because we are sinful beings. We're not going to make it. So I'm not looking to Hollywood or to government. I'm looking to Jesus Christ. Just like it says there in our verse, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a path of watching. We're looking for Jesus Christ. Paul said in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But most people look to government, most people look to themselves, most people look to their hearts, and they're looking the wrong direction. We're looking down instead of up. Should be looking up. I go to the hills from which cometh my help. It's the Lord. That's our salvation. Jesus Christ is coming back to fix all of our problems. He's going to fix all of my problems. You know where all my problems are at? You're looking at it. Right here. Go look in the mirror. You'll find all your problems right there. I mean, all the stupid decisions I've ever made and all the big dumbo decisions I've ever made, I just go look in the mirror. Yep, there's the guy right there. He did it. Uh-huh. Jesus, can you come down and fix this? The only way that he can do that is change you and give you a new body. That's all he can do. And he's going to do that. The Bible says he's going to change our vile body that he may be flesh and likened to his glorious body. Are you looking forward to that sinless body one of these days that can't think wrong thoughts and all of it and do sinful things? All of that, I'm looking forward to that. So we should live our lives with that in view, I guess you would say. Live our lives with that in view. Because we are seated together, the Bible says, with Christ in heaven. And ultimately, our allegiance is not to the United States of America, but to heaven. Because that's our final home. That's our final resting place. He tells us again in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Loved ones that have gone on before you that are saved, they're there too. You'll get to see them again one of these days. What path are you on this evening? Who's leading you and guiding you? It matters a great deal who you're following, because that's the path that you're on and the destination is at the end. What path are you on? And then would you be an example for others to follow? Could other people look at you and say, hey, well, there's somebody I can follow. He's a godly man or woman. Can I follow them? I've got to be someone that others can follow as well. What path are you on? Are you on the path that is less traveled or on the wide path? There's only two paths. We don't need to complicate things. There's only two paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,